Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: forgetting those things which are behind. Chapter 4. Important and shocking warning: who experienced the old wine does not readily want the new. Luke 5:37-39. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, "The old is better." In the words of the Lord Jesus Christ presented in the last text mentioned above, a statement is found that seems somewhat strange, for the first impression one can have is that something is inverted in this text, but it is not. What the Lord Jesus declared is that, indeed, those who have drunk from the old do not immediately prefer the new, not the other way around, still stating that they even come to say that the old is better or that the old is pleasurable or more excellent. If a person reads quickly the Lord's words quoted above and is not attentive to them, one might even think that the Lord was declaring that as soon as someone took the new wine that is offered through the gift of the new creature, one too would promptly stop to desire the portion or pattern of what has become obsolete in the face of the heavenly proposition. However, what the Lord has signaled is the opposite, announcing that those who have drunk the old wine do not readily prefer the new. Instead, they are resistant to the latter, preferring the old and even claiming that it is better than the novelty of life that God offers them. In speaking of the new wine and the old wine, the Lord Jesus exposes an effect that the old wine produces in those who drink of it, showing that the old wine has a characteristic to affect the evaluation of taste or discernment of those who ingest it. And this not being enough, the Lord Jesus further stated that all those who drink the old wine go on to say that the old wine is better, just as they may hold in preference the old one to the detriment of the choice for the new wine, at least initially. Besides causing a resistance to the preference for the new, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches that drinking the old wine still accentuates the preference for the old. The Lord Jesus Christ has announced that the act of drinking or proving the old wine is accompanied by an ability to affect the judgment skills of those who ingest it, which is also taught to us in the texts recorded by Paul, as exemplified below. 2 Corinthians 3:14-16. But their minds were blinded. For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Also comparable to the veil that blinds the mind or the fascination that makes people prefer what does not come from God instead of preferring the newness of life offered to them in Christ Jesus, the old wine, when ingested, read, accepted, received, or assimilated, accentuates the appreciation of the old to the detriment of the new, even the old being corrupted. Still, in other words, the old wine has in it a taste or a characteristic that is comparable to an improper veil or yeast that seeks to obscure the perception of the value of the newness that God in Christ Jesus offers to all human beings. Nevertheless, the fact that the old wine looks better than the new, or even appears to have a better taste than the new for the one who drinks it, does not mean that it is better indeed or that the choice or preference for it may turn out to be a good, beneficial, or appropriate choice. Many ancient things are immutable and will remain good or appropriate forever, but just because something is traditional and ancient does not mean that it indeed will be good or beneficial to people. In the world, there are many ancient things which for many centuries are the expression of improper practices, and which, even after centuries, are still futile, vain, or perverse, as we are also informed in the first letter of Peter and several other parts of the scriptures that narrate the words of the Lord Jesus, as follows. 1 Peter 1:18-19. knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Mark 7, 6, 7, 9, and 13. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down. And many such things you do. For a soul who drank old wine and has become accustomed to being instructed primarily by its fellow men or by a set of predefined rules, and not personally by God, there is a tendency to think that it is easier to receive an orientation from a close person or some written rules than from the Lord who manifests himself also spiritually. For the soul who drank old wine and is accustomed to seeking instruction in palpable or visible things, there is an attraction to continue seeking guidance in what one is used to in the natural level, thus presenting a resistance to the pursuit of orientation in the condition of a new creature in the Lord and in whom there is a challenge to grow in this new way of living and walking. In many aspects of life, the human being tends to think that it is easier to appeal to what is known or visible from a long time than to choose to walk in what is unknown, not natural, or new, even if the new one is better or correct. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that the human being who drinks the old wine is in the path of becoming a conservative of the old one even though it is inappropriate for his or her life, and therefore, as already mentioned, without a predisposition for the new. In the kind of life consonant with the old wine, there may be an initial feeling of greater stability and security than in the face of the challenge of receiving the newness of life offered by the Lord. For while life according to the old wine operates according to what is naturally perceivable, the new wine acts according to what is grounded in the heavenly kingdom or what is not conceivable merely according to human natural sight and knowledge. Aspects viewed more broadly also in the subject on the gospel of the kingdom of God. Luke 17, 20-21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. People who get used to the taste of the old wine are accustomed to thinking that life can be lived by subjection to a set of rules and practices, not realizing, however, that they follow a model of life or precepts that should have already been abandoned due to the fact that something better and new has been revealed by the Lord to them. They resist the new because of their appreciation for things which are behind and with which they are familiarized, not willing to detach themselves from what they should go away. Evidently, when God proposes and offers the possibility for people to receive a new life in Christ, He is not teaching them to change something old for something that appears to be new but is actually outdated, remembering that the novelty of life does not come from the natural world or the things that are under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1, 9. That which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. And not being sad enough that the old wine leads the people who drink it not to prefer the new wine, the involvement with the old wine still acts to lead its followers to become defenders and announcers of their attachment to this wine, to the point of declaring that the old is better or more excellent. Thus, they propose that the things which come from the old human nature are better than the newness of life which comes from God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth. The practice of drinking old wine can become a source of the most bizarre and absurd imaginable dissimulations and deceptions, which gets its playing field when people give preference to what their souls find most pleasurable or safe in detriment of consulting God on what is, in fact, good, safe, and profitable for them. On the other hand, the new wine encompasses the gift of sobriety or heavenly light. And for this reason, it is also the wine that is not welcomed by those who do not receive the love of the truth in the heart or who resist the light of the novelty of life that is offered to them in God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. John 3, 19-21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. The expression new wine represents a figure of life that comes from Christ, it is the newness of life offered from above, it is the life granted by God through his Spirit, it is the strength and the living instructions of the Lord that serve as support and direction to the children of God, and which in no way conform to the wine that causes torpor. Titus 2, 11-12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. When the Lord Jesus Christ warns about the effects of the old wine on those who drink it, and that so are led to prefer this wine rather than preferring the new wine, he obviously is not signaling that people should stand or insist on the preference for the old wine. Although the old wine in reference has elements that seek to attract people's preference, this old wine is based on the oldness of the letter and on propositions that cannot lead people to a real newness of life or eternal life in the Lord. It is in Christ that God offers the wine of the true novelty of life or eternal life in him, calling people not to remain attached to the old wine that initially attracts them more, but which also dulls, deceives, and produces dissolution. An aspect that is also clearly explained in the scriptures in the following text, as well as in the texts in which Christ refers that the new wine is also a symbol of the new covenant that can be established with him because of the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 5, 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Luke 22, 20. Likewise he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Despite the preference that many people may have for the old wine, the Lord calls each person no longer to be drunk with that old wine in which there is dissipation or dissolution, in that type of wine that is according to the old nature, according to the flesh, and in which there are all sorts of fascinations and deceptions. To practice the propositions of the model denominated in the New Testament scriptures as Jew or the propositions of the model denominated in the same scriptures as Greek or Gentile is to remain associated with the old wine that in none of its variations, models, or styles has anything of the new wine. The old wine is indeed more tangible, palpable, and known on the natural level, and may still be much more familiar and seemingly cozy for those who have drunk it, but not even because of this it is beneficial, for it is a producer of opposition or resistance to the offer of salvation and life offered by God to all human beings through His grace. Although the old wine may have a familiar taste, a taste of what has been known for a long time, the old wine is outdated and corrupted, and always will be. It will always be an expression of a sort of imitation, dissolution, or dissimulation of the true or real way and will always seek to act in opposition to what actually may cooperate in establishing the life of the new creature in a person. The word dissipation or dissolution in the scriptures is related to a dissolute, perverted, or libertine life. That is, a life where one seeks to dilute the understanding of the truth or where the search for the truth, to reach a more accurate knowledge or experience to live in line with it, is no longer practiced. Life subject to dissolution is inclined to lead people to satisfy themselves with their beliefs, religions, denominations, institutions, structures, historical customs, cultures, and traditions instead of seeking the living and truly beneficial strength and instruction of the Lord, who is the truth. In their various propositions, partakers of the old wine may even claim that they are sympathizers of the truth or announce some isolated aspects of truth to try to attract a higher number of followers. However, the characteristics of the old wine they offer invariably are dissolute and are associated with aspects of lie with the goal of producing distortion of the understanding of the truth. To adopt the practice of drinking the old wine, in one way or another, is to follow a path that always seeks to lead a person to propositions of a life subject to corruption in relation to the offer of life that God makes in Christ Jesus, which is why the Scriptures prominently warn Christians to be cautious and abstain from that what leads to a bitter end. Colossians 2, 8-9. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Accepting to leave, in fact, the old wine behind to receive the new appropriately can be very challenging, which, in turn, may provoke the feeling that continuing life according to the things that are behind even seems to be a more comfortable and better option. However, although it may seem tastier to a soul due to a familiarity with it, the way of the old wine is a corrupted path, and it cannot grant indeed the newness of life in God that exists only in the new wine. It seems to us, then, that the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ about the risk of continuing to drink the old wine, and thus having a taste for the new one affected, aims at least two very objective and practical aspects. First, to warn those who have become accustomed to the old wine to put it aside, even though the new does not seem better to them, and this, to proceed steadily to the path of the wine that grants a real novelty of life. Second, to warn those who are already in the way of the new wine to be careful not to return to drinking from the old, for no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, that is, by going back to drink the old wine they also return to the risk of finding the older once again better to the detriment of the new wine they received from the Lord. When the Lord announced that the practice of drinking the old wine is a cunning way to keep people associated with this type of wine, he was also teaching that receiving the new life, according to the new birth, is directly related to a disposition of a person to break with that which one has been attached by appreciation or custom and which no longer suit him or her. In other words, the Lord Jesus was showing that the option to walk in harmony with the new wine also encompasses leaving behind the aspects of the old wine because they are not reconcilable with the new life offered by the Lord, even if these aspects to be forgotten may seem to taste better. When some people hear that Christ wants to give them an abundant life, they think they can desire whatever they want or whatever pleases their fleshly ambitions. However, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that the life he offers is a life according to the truth and righteousness of God, and not according to the fleshly lusts of humans. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that the new wine or the new covenant of life that he offers may, in fact, conflict with the taste or appreciation that people have for their ancient ways of living on earth and in which they are not guided by the Spirit of God. Christ teaches us that he knows the affection and appreciation that people have for what is familiar, traditional, cultural, and naturally known. And for being aware of this, the Lord teaches us objectively that living and walking in the newness of life also express a call to abandon that which is of the old and not compatible with the new creature, even though the things which are behind may be highly attractive to a person. The call to life in consonance with the new creature, or the offer of life according to the new wine, is not intended to be a proposition that matches the new with the things which are behind, even if people are accustomed to them or however much comfortable or pleasurable they may think they are. The call to newness of life is not a proposition that exempts people from being challenged or confronted with the need for changes in what is inappropriate in what they are, in what they practice, and even what they appreciate or like. Christ teaches us that it is indeed challenging to receive Him, but at the same time He also offers us a comforting teaching that what needs to be left behind, however valuable it may seem, will not represent a loss in the face of the greatness of the new that through Him is offered, for what He offers is not only temporal life but also eternal. To experience the new, part of the process also includes leaving behind the things that oppose the new, which, ultimately, will not represent a missing part for those who leave it in favor of living and walking in the will of the Heavenly Father. Romans 12, 1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Considering that the old wine mentioned in the scriptures is an expression of a figure of speech of the life according to the natural man, and since the natural man is opposed to that which comes from God or that which is born according to the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that receiving the new wine or life according to the new creature may come to be not naturally appealing. Receiving the novelty of life from the Lord, therefore, may represent an action opposed to the natural taste and wisdom of human beings. It is a decision contrary to the lusts of the eyes and the flesh, but crucial and very significant in favor of the recognition of the truth and the eternal life that in the Lord is made available to those who believe and receive Him in the heart. Galatians 4:29. But, as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is natural for a person to have an attachment to the natural, to the things which are behind, to the life according to the first Adam, but this life does not generate real spiritual life and, therefore, it does not generate life according to the will of God or the eternal life that is spiritual. In speaking about the new wine and the old wine, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that the new is effectively compatible or able to be combined only with the new itself. Luke 5:38. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. In the book of Matthew, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are recorded as follows. Matthew 9:16-17. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Despite the fact that the new wine is offered in a way that contradicts the desire or appreciation of many people, or that is not in line with the natural taste of those who have drunk the old one, the manner by which it is offered, on the part of Christ to human beings, is entirely appropriate, being also because of this called as novelty of life that is widely distinct from mere natural life. If a person who has an appreciation for the old wine is not willing to give up the aspects of the old nature to receive the new life in Christ, but still wants aspects of the new wine, one runs the risk already mentioned in the previous chapters. That is, he or she runs the risk of wanting to put aspects of the new wine into old wineskins under a possible penalty of coming to impute even larger damage to his or her whole situation. So, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ quoted last, he instructs that the right alternative for an individual to receive life according to the Spirit of God, according to the heavenly kingdom, is to welcome the new creation and life according to the new creature, where neither remaining entirely in the old nor attempting to combine the old with the new, or vice versa, will be fruitful for the general life of this person and especially for his or her eternal life. For those who think that Christ should grant them a new life where everything is pleasing to the soul or their taste, the Lord teaches them also the following words. John 12:25. He who loves his life, or soul, will lose it, and he who hates his life, or soul, in this world will keep it for eternal life. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? James 4:8-10. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The path to which a person is called to live and walk in the newness of life in the Lord also passes through the door of the renunciations of the improper desires of the soul or through a tight life for the flesh. Waiting for God's direction for the several tasks of life indeed may come to represent a narrow door and a narrow path for the flesh, soul and body. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Naturally speaking, it may even be very appreciative to grant significant spaces for the soul to manifest itself as it pleases, to have bodily freedom to come and go, and to make personal plans of all kinds, but in this, there is also the risk of an individual withdrawing from voluntary dependence on God and from the living, personal, and daily fellowship with the Lord. In the Scriptures, we find a parable about a man who, in his natural wealth, said to his soul, "Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." However, the Lord called him fool, for in his devotion to the wine of dissolution, he thought that goods and riches could be the provision and safety of his life for many years. A theme that is more widely addressed in the subject on the Christian and the riches. The wine of dissolution is a figure of the way that large crowds follow, whether the liberals in the flesh or the religious who enjoy their religions and events. The old wine may even taste good for the natural man and satisfy his earthly desires, but in all its work is included the resistance to the will of God and the life of the new creature in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Naturally speaking, as mentioned earlier, the path that seeks religiousness, life subject to predefined rules, human philosophy, and even the payment to priests and mediators so that they supposedly seek the will of God for others, presents several characteristics which are attractive to human beings and even seem to be easier, more tangible, and more agile to be followed than living by personal and ongoing pursuit of fellowship with the Lord. These actions, initially, may appear to offer a more visible or more immediate sense of satisfaction to the soul. Nevertheless, life subject to written rules that cannot have life in themselves or mere human philosophies, or even subject to mediators to whom people seek to outsource what only each person can do by oneself, is a kind of path in which an individual will never be able to develop the newness of life that God offers him or her. Through trust in the natural man, in his attributes, or in his actions, people oppose themselves to the grace of God and the offer of life in the Lord, which has as one of its parameters a direct and personal relationship of God with the new creature and of the new creature with the eternal Lord already from the heart of the one who receives the new position in Christ. The attempts to represent or mediate the fellowship of people with God are explicit expressions of the dissimulated propositions of the old wine, but still, they are highly appreciated by many who have come to drink from this old wine so corrupted by yeast. Therefore, it is no wonder that so many people are subject to giving tithes and offerings to those who, contrary to the instruction of the new covenant, claim to be priests or mediators of God for those they call their brethren, followers, or their disciples. It is also because of the dissolution or misleading fascination that there is in the old wine that people who drink it agree to submit to leaders who claim to be specially anointed or specially chosen by God to lead others in their private lives, despite that the Lord Jesus Christ expressly said that no one among the children of God should be called a guide, teacher, father, or leader of another person's life. The fact that a person prays on behalf of other individuals to God may and should be practiced by all Christians, but the call to do so was never intended to replace and supply the fellowship that each person is called to maintain in his or her personal relationship with the Lord. This fellowship, in turn, is one of the crucial or vital marks for living and walking in consonance with the new covenant in Christ Jesus. A subject more broadly addressed in the materials on knowing about God or knowing God and the core principle of life for a Christian. Hebrews 8, verses 8 and 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. 1 Timothy 2, 5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. When the Lord Jesus announces that people, in their natural or initial condition, are inclined to prefer the old wine, he is also teaching them that they will need to act contrary to their taste or preference and resist that which want to keep them in the old, giving rather preference to the new wine even though it initially may not look attractive and tasty. Since people's natural conduct shows an inclination or preference for the things which are behind, but that cannot lead them to live and walk in the will of God, it is necessary that they reject precisely those things that attract them to the path that opposes the will of God and as well that they turn themselves toward the new that initially may not seem attractive or pleasant to them. No matter how tasty the old wine may feel or seem to an individual, it is not worth the risk to remain subject to that which does not seek his or her eternal good. Thus, we recall again here that the old wine is full of dissolution that has the power to quickly put a veil that blinds the eyes of those who drink it, a reason why a person should not be frivolous regarding his or her relationship with that which is associated with the dissolute wine. No matter the favorable condition that a person has already attained in the earthly life, if one returns to drinking the old wine that tries to over-exalt the glory of the natural man, his works, or his religiousness, to the detriment of the exaltation that is pertinent exclusively to the Almighty Creator and who is sovereign above everyone and everything, one puts oneself in the position of the risk of despising a life guided and instructed by the Lord or a life according to the new wine. A central theme of life and human existence discussed more broadly in the subject on the Gospel of the Creator. Romans 1:22-25. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ announced that the old wine has in itself the characteristic of dulling the senses of the people. And no individual who begins to ingest this old wine is capable just by oneself of resisting the ability of this wine to corrupt the senses. Only in returning to the Lord and only in accepting the goodness of God does a person find the place of repentance and victory over the dissolution of the old wine. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The fact that God repeatedly and with long-suffering offers the new wine, although people initially insist on giving preference to the old, and the fact that God offers forgiveness even to those who went back to the old wine after already being freed from it, does not mean that a person should approach with levity the invitation of God to abandon the old wine, mistakenly thinking that one may return to the new wine any time he or she so desires. Instead, everyone is called to pay close attention to the following texts. 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 2:1-4. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will? If a person insists on the old wine because it is more pleasing to him or her, or for any other reason, one simultaneously places oneself in a position of resistance to the new wine of God's goodness and under the condition in which one's heart may become more and more hardened and more numbed by the dissolution of the old wine that opposes the offer of newness of life in the Lord. The insistence on the association with the old wine, because it provides some temporal satisfactions to the soul, can lead a person to love the present world inappropriately, which, in turn, characterizes enmity toward God and love for what will soon fade away. James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The solution for a person to get out of the vicious cycle of the appreciation that the old wine tries to promote over the new wine is found exclusively in the conversion of the heart to Jesus Christ, acknowledging and receiving him in the heart as the Lord and as the unique one who gives new wine, which is also accompanied by the help of the Spirit of the Lord, so that a person may be instructed and strengthened to no longer need to continue to ingest the old wine. Although for some people initially the new wine may not seem to have a taste as pleasant as some aspects of the old wine, it is through the active option for the new wine that a person associates oneself with the salvation and the reconciliation with the Lord, as well as with the life of purification of the mentality of appreciation for the flavors that appear to be pleasant but which ultimately are ways of death. Romans 5:10-11. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Hebrews 9:11-15. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. The word conversion, mentioned earlier, expresses the meaning of leaving the old, turning one's back on it, and simultaneously moving on to the new, moving on to a God-led life, moving on to the life of the new creature in Christ. And when someone converts to Christ or deposits his or her life and trust in the Lord, Christ himself assists this person to purify his or her conscience, or convictions, and shows to him or her that the old wine only has the appearance of being better, as well as shows that only the new wine grants the novelty of life in the Lord and can lead an individual to the true and living works done in God. When a person renders his or her heart to the new covenant in Christ, and leaves the old covenant, the eyes of his or her understanding are opened to the way of life that only Christ can bestow. A closer look at the two covenants referred to is found in the subject on the Gospel of the Glory of God and the Glory of Christ. Although the people who drink the old wine are initially more attracted by the taste of it than by the taste of the new wine, the old wine is not really good or beneficial for them, for by its dissolutions it acts to keep people from the grace of God and always aims at subjecting them to sin and the law of the commandments of men. That is why, a Christian should not be subject again to that from which he or she was already released by a high price paid by Christ, that is, the blood of the new covenant shed on the cross of Calvary to offer everyone a new life in the Lord. And not even the old wine presented by the attempts of imitation or camouflage of the new has some good virtue, for the old wine in its dissolution cannot be restored. The efforts to conciliate or mix the old wine and the new can never succeed, which is why the attempts that aim at combining the two are called propositions of another gospel or a pretended gospel, not the true and unique gospel of God. Theme specifically described also in the subject on a different gospel or another gospel. Proverbs 23:29-35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent, and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, They have struck me, but I was not hurt, they have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake, that I may seek another drink? For those who are in Christ, the entire old wine is equivalent to something that is behind, and it is also by practicing the work of forgetting oneself of the taste of the old wine that an individual advances to the prize that is in Christ Jesus. So, highlighting once more, for this forgetfulness becoming a reality, it is necessary to stop drinking the old wine and advance to the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. On the one hand, the old wine needs to be expressly rejected. And on the other hand, the new wine needs to be appropriately received and kept in the heart by those who want to live and walk according to the newness of life offered to them in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:6-8. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. Luke 5:38. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved.